Hallelujah. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You all may be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
This morning, the topic I chose this morning is, where do you stand in your commitment as a believer? In other words, this is a challenge to increase your commitment to the Lord. Everything is coming out the last church in the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Today we are going to tour. We're going on a little tour this morning to Sidus. Sidus Miracle Church. I just use partial hours because I just like the name Miracle. But before I go any further, we have no association with Sidus Miracle Church. See, Sidus Church is located 50 miles east of Smyrna and some 30 miles southeast of Thyatira. We come to a place, a city, built on an acropolis on a mountain called Sardis. Now, let me tell you something about Sardis. Sardis was a church of what's happening now. Sardis had folk that's going to church, and folks who wanted to go to church, they would go to Sidus Miracle Church. It says the place had it going on. You can ask anyone in Sidus. They would tell you they got it going on. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1, you have a name, talking about Sidus, you have a name that you are alive. Now, I didn't finish that verse for a reason. If we were to ask the folk around town about your church, they would say, oh, they're doing everything fine over there. Everything is going good. Man, they got it going on over there. Oh, they are serious over there. He says, you got a name, meaning that you have a reputation. And for what the people say, they had a good reputation. Your reputation, Sidus, is stellar. The problem comes at the end of verse 1. When he says at the end of the verse, but what I say about you is not what folks said about you. What I say about you is not the same thing as your reputation that you have around the city of Sidus. He says, because when I look at the church, I see a bunch of dead folk walking. He says, but you are dead. So that means it's possible to look like you're alive, to dress like you're alive, to walk like you're alive. It's possible for you to carry on to some of the words in the Bible that let folk thinking you are a part of God. It's possible to sound like you're alive. But you are dead. There is no life worth in you. Now, obviously, they're physically alive. They're still going to church. What does he mean by you're dead? Well, we'll find the explanation in this introduction, because he says to the angel of the church at Sardis, write, to the pastor, I said, of the church of Sardis, writes, he who has seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Now remember that the number seven means completeness, it means fullness, it means wholeness in the Bible. So when you read sevens, a seven is the number of completeness.
Yes, yes.
God created 7 days. He finished his work on the seventh day. It is God finishing something. When he says, the one who holds the seven spirits, he is referring to the completeness of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Sardis had a program. Sardis had people. Sardis had a preacher. Sardis had some kind of music. Don't know what exactly what it is, but they had some kind of music. Mm-hmm. But whatever kind of music it was part of the attractiveness of their reputation.
Okay.
So you can have a church that has no life. And the reason it didn't have life is that the Spirit of God was missing.
Hallelujah. Come on, man.
A program without the Spirit is an activity that has no life. He says that you have a reputation. One of the worst things in the world is for God to say something about you that's different than the other folks, what the other folks are saying. Folks are saying you got a name. We know who you are. We know where you are. The job of the Holy Spirit is like a dimmer switch. It is raised to the light of Christ in our lives. In the Old Testament, God the Father was a superstar. He is on every page. In the Gospels, Jesus the Son is a superstar. He is on every page. But once you hit the beginning of the church in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit becomes the superstar. The Father sent the Son sent the Spirit. So there is no relationship to the Spirit. You won't experience much of Jesus. And if you don't experience much of Jesus, you won't experience much of God. So if you want more of God, you got to have more of Jesus. And if you want more of Jesus, you got to have more of the Holy Spirit. Because without them, you don't get the full experience of the Godhead.
Amen.
So the one who holds the seven spirits, that is the completeness of the Holy Spirit, which is why the Bible says, walk with the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit. And in order to do that, you must be operating, watch this now, spiritually. You see, once you bring a non-spiritual perspective, you are no longer plugged in. Once you bring a perspective that the Holy Spirit does not agree with, then you're trying to make your equipment work on your own. And it's not designed to work without the outlet. And the outlet is the Holy Spirit. Which means you must operate spiritually by what he calls in 1 Corinthians 2:16, a spiritual mind, that you must think like God, must respond like God wants you to respond in order for the Spirit to get kicked in. And I'm talking about a new nature. It only works by which the Holy Spirit quickens in the life of a believer. 2 Timothy 3:5 says, you can write these down. I didn't put them up because I just something I'm going to touch on as I go. 2 Timothy 3:5 says, you have a form of godliness. In other words, you're looking the part. It's like Halloween. And you go out wearing a Christmas Halloween mask. You put the mask on. That makes you look like Jesus. You got a vocabulary that makes you sound like Jesus. But there is no reality of Jesus at work. He says, you're dead. I don't care what the people say. You have faked. You have faked it till you made it. Sardis Miracle Church, which we do not have any affiliation with. I just had to call it something. You got authentic. You are not for real. When Jesus, the risen, ascended, Christ comes, he says, I'm looking for the real thing. I'm looking, he said, I'm not looking for fake. I'm not looking for play Christianity. I come and I'm looking for the real thing. Authenticity, full commitment. So that's his complaint. You got a reputation, but you are dead. And in verse 2 of Revelation 3, it says, wake up! Wake up, he says. Well, if they're telling you to wake up, you must be asleep. So he is not talking about folk who are physically dead. He is talking about they are spiritually dead. They are spiritually asleep. And he hollers, wake up! Verse 2 says, he says, wake up and to strengthen the things that remain which are about to die. The things that remain. Here's the problem. The problem at Sardis, the church, and with many of its members, not all of them, as you'll see, but with many of them, is they had become spiritually asleep. They got started right, but wouldn't keep going. The things that remain, he says, they began following Christ, but then they got used to it. They began serving the Lord, but then they quit. So they were not continuing to build on the faith. They were getting so comfortable being a Christian that there was no aggressiveness to complete what he meant to fully follow Christ. You see, you can get used to being saved. You can get used to being forgiven. When you first got saved, all your sins are forgiven. And you're on your way to heaven. So you're excited to be with the Lord. You spend time with the Lord. You read his word. You prayed. And you witness for the Lord. After a while, you get used to it. And so you can get sleepy. And I don't want to be fully committed. With all that's going on in today's society, not addition to the plague, the murders, the shootings, and all that's going on. People are falling away. The Lord says in the last of the last days, there will be a great falling away. I couldn't understand that at first. All these people are giving their life to Christ. What happened? Jesus Christ paid the full price on the cross. His words of Calvary was, it is finished. Amen. Means paid in full. He paid a price, the full price, but he didn't pay it for half of a Christian. He didn't pay it for half of commitment. He didn't pay it for half of dedication, he says. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, he says, do all to the glory of God. I paid a full price for your full commitment. What are you doing? Giving me half of yourself. Give me the things that remain. I know you go to church. I know you say your grace. I know you do that. But I paid a little more, a bit more than that. I paid for your eternal destination in heaven and for you to follow me as a disciple of Christ on earth. That is what I paid for. Give me what I paid for. You know, we always say God is a jealous God. And we keep saying that because we are saved, it sounds good. But we won't get him all that he paid for. He paid full price for your salvation. He paid full price so you wouldn't die, but have life with him. This book was in Revelation. This church is in Revelation. It's getting close to everything that's happening. It's getting close. Somebody mentioned it this morning. It's getting close. Closer than you think. Hallelujah. Give me what I paid for, he says. He says, that's not what you're doing. Talking to the church of Sardis. If it applies here, put on the shoes and wear them. He says you are not plugged into the Spirit. And that light of commitment is keeping the Spirit from operating in your midst. He says, for I have found your deeds, verse 2, to be completed in the sight of my God. You didn't finish. You make it. A commitment. You make a commitment to me, but you don't complete it. You don't follow it through. He says, no, I want all of you. And so he tells them to do three things. In verse 3, he says, remember what you have received, heard, and kept it, and keep it, and repent. He said, remember. Remember what? Remember what you have heard. He is referring to the Bible teachings that they gotten from the apostles. What you have heard. They had learned some things that they were not applying. They had enough Bible to know how to do something that they weren't doing. Amen. Remember the things you have heard, because the Spirit responds to the word kept. Not just the word heard, known, you say it amen to, appreciated, or valued. And when I, or you, or we, or us, complete, collectively, as a church, don't do that. We just become a church of reputation without reality because the Spirit is not moving. And then he says, repent. Repent of what? Repent means to turn away from. You're not doing that the word say to do and start doing it because that's the order. Because remember, the Spirit is like a dove. The Spirit is like is very sensitive. That's why the Bible says you grieve the Holy Spirit, because he'll fly away real quick when he is not comfortable in the environment. So he tells them to remember to obey. And to repent, because if you don't, he says, you don't know the hour that I will come to you. like a thief to let you know how serious this is. And if you're gonna stay comatose, I might as well pull the plug. See, people don't realize how important the Word of God is. They don't think about in their actions what God has did for them when they were yet sinners. You know, no, I'm not going that far with pulling the plug. He says, but there are a few people in Sardis, verse 4. There are a few people who have not soiled their garments. There are a few folk there who I can still use. In other words, that's that remnant God keeps talking about. He says, I've got a few folk in Sardis who have not spoiled or soiled their garment. He is bringing up clothes again. Why? Because garments, that's what he keeps saying, garments. Sardis was a garment district. It made clothes. That's what it was known for. It was known for making clothes. So he uses what they did as a city to describe these faithful people in the church. Now, how would not soiled clothes describe the people in the church? We're going to get to that. That's very interesting. It means to get dirt on your clothes. He says, there are a few who have not soiled their garment. Now, what does that mean? And I briefly went over to James 1 and 27. It says that we are to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. So here's the problem with Sardis, and the problem with so many Christians and Christian churches today. The one thing that they're having problem with, because of all that's going around, and because of them maybe losing, whatever reason, losing members, the problem is their worldliness. Let me put it another way. They are trying to accommodate the culture, compromise with the culture, rather than commitment to Christ within the culture. We want to be so acceptable for the non-Christian world. We will compromise our Christian values so they will like us. That's why you don't read about any persecutions in Sardis. You don't read about anybody coming against them in Sardis. Because everybody was applauding Sardis, even the pagan non-Christians. Why? Because the Christians were so secularized. I made that word up. See, some more words I'm making up as I go along. Culturized. Wanted to be so popular that their commitment was missing. So they would just do enough. You see, you can do enough just to make folk think you love Jesus. Let me defend this worldliness. Define this worldliness. Worldliness means it is that system headed by Satan that leaves God out. That's worldliness. That's right. When you have to push God aside because you don't want to offend anybody, when you have to push God aside, push Christ aside, why? Because you got a think about who you are. You, how they going to feel, be feeling about you. You push God aside because I don't want people feeling bad against me. Whether they are going to like you or not. Whether they're going to accept you or not. Whether they're going to date you or not. I said date you or not. Whether or whatever is, if you have to push Jesus to the side in any category, you just became worldly. If you got to hide the fact, Jesus says, if you didn't deny me before men, I will deny you before the Father. If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. I don't say not I believe in God. That's vague and generic. No, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. So many people say, God. What God? Or the man upstairs. Who? You see, I worship God. Why? Because I got a cross around my neck, singing in nightclubs, doing all kinds of worldly things, not going to church. But when I do go, I look good. He said, there are some at Sardis who have not given in to the culture. And don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about being just foolish or being irresponsible, being mean or mean-spirited. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being clear. Clear in my actions, clear in my speech, clear in my walk, clear at what I do to my because I'm fully committed to Jesus. That's what I'm talking about. Being clear about Jesus because that's what gets the Spirit's attention. Because the Holy Spirit says, I've come to glorify the Son. And so look at what he says he is going to do for the overcomers. He ends verse 4 by saying, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Worthy, he says. He who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments. So he uses the word white twice. What is this white thing I'm going to get in white clothes? Because he has to go back. He talked about this clothing thing because remember they're in Sardis?
Yes.
They make clothes.
Yes.
Okay, now let me give you another word to help you with this white garment. Tuxedo and gown. How is that? White garments. Whenever they had something formal, they would put on a tuxedo and gown for special occasions. So if I would put it in everyday contemporary language, he says, to the one who overcomes what? Overcomes complacency and give me full commitment, I will dress him up in a tuxedo and her up in a white gown. Why? Because only those people will be invited to my formal affairs. Because they were an overcomer. And then he throws an interesting phrase in verse 5. He says, and I will not erase his name out of the book of life. Now, that poses a problem. What does he mean? I will not erase their name. First of all, I thought we believed eternal security that you couldn't lose your salvation. Yep, that's right. That's what the Bible teaches. And Sister Robin, don't get nervous. Just let me finish. Once saved, you're saved forever. That sounds right. But he says, you are not going to erase your name out of the book of life. Isn't the book of life where saved people's names are registered? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. The book of life mm-hmm. is where saved people's names are registered. Okay. Once saved, you are saved forever. Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Mm-hmm. Sounds right. Mm-hmm. But he says, you're going to erase your name. Not going to erase your name out of the book of life. So doesn't that sound like I'm to lose my salvation if I'm not an overcomer?
Hallelujah.
Well, it sounds like it, but that can't be true because that would be a contradiction of eternal salvation. So what does it mean? Gwen, you have Bible study. I'm going to be a little bit of Bible study a minute, so I'm not counting you out. Pastor, Bishop Tony, I know you're doing Bible study. This is not to counsel you out. I know you're going to come to it sooner or later, one of y'all. One rule of Bible study is when you see a phrase or a word that doesn't make sense, see if the phrase or word is used in the same context. If the phrase or word is used in the same context, see how it was used previously to determine what it means now. That's why the Bible says continuously to study to show yourselves approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Now go back to verse 1. You see the word name in verse 1. What did he mean by name in verse 1? You have a name, but you are dead. Well, he means reputation in verse 1. He is talking about you have a reputation with no reality. So when he uses the word name, he is really literally talking about their identity or their reputation. That's what he's talking about. So when he says, I will not erase your name out of the book of life, he doesn't mean they're going to lose their salvation. He's not talking about that. He says they're not going to lose their identity and reputation. All right, be clear on that. It's going to get better in a minute. He means that they will be recognized eternally for their commitment in history. In history means your commitment that you made here on earth. Why does that matter? Sister Lott, I'm going to tell you. Because nobody may know your name now. Think about this. Think of all the people in here that do things behind the scene and they may be overlooked, you may not be recognized. Look at the ones who did so many works, different works, committed themselves to different things. And you do it because you are committed to the word of God. Amen. Don't worry about getting your approval down here on earth.
Amen.
Don't worry about giving a plaque down here on earth. God has something for you.
Amen.
We are overcomers.
Amen.
See, because nobody may be appreciating you for what you have done now. Nobody may be calling you up front and giving you a plaque now. Nobody may be advertising you now. Nobody may see you working faithfully, working with the children now, or faithfully with the youth now, or visiting the sick. Nobody may be worried about that now. You may not be thankful for it now. Don't worry about it. Visiting the sick, visiting the homeless. Nobody is giving you your accolades now. The seeing things that a lot of people don't see. So you can be at home on your phone calling the sick every day. Nobody see that. But don't worry about it. Don't worry about coming to church and saying, I did this, I did that. Don't worry about it. They may not see it now, but I tell you what, God sees it. Now let me get to these tucks and gowns. When I put on your tux, notice the word. When I put on your tux, when God puts on your tux, and when God lets you put on your gown in your white clothes, they all are going to know who you are then, because it will become plain and clear, and you will not erase your reputation in the Lamb's Book of Life. You see, the problem with reputation today is they are only good as your popularity lasts. The problem with your reputation today, once your reputation, popularity goes, folk will forget your name. That's why you can't live all your life for people recognizing who you are. Because they will forget you. And no longer, when you're no longer around, or when you can't do anything for them anymore. But Jesus says, if you are an overcomer and you are committed to me, I will not forget your name. Watch this. And I will let anybody else forget your name, because I will advertise your name ongoingly. It will never be erased. You'll be invited to every event, every affair, because you will be in a special class of overcomers. He says to the overcomers who are committed to me, when you strut out in your tuxedo and your white gown and you will cross over the gold streets and silver on Silver Boulevard, everybody's going to know, oh! Whatever your name is, everybody up there going to say, oh! That's the one of those overcoming people. Because look at how they are dressed. God is going to recognize. In other words, those who are committed, even though difficulty, and even though they didn't get to the registration, the recognition that others got on earth. And so he concludes, and he says in verse 5, he says, I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Now, he is going to advertise you. you are going to be placed on heavenly billboards. So here's the question we gotta ask in closing. Do you want to be a mortuary where dead folks live? Do you want to be a mausoleum, which is a monument to where dead folk hang out? Or do you want to be a ministry that God can use to bring glory to Him, good to you, and benefit others? Do you want to give Him the whole deal so that He can work all the good that He has in your life? Well, you say yes, right? That's what I heard. But wait a minute. My garments already soiled. See, God has a way of not leaving nobody out. See, some may have soiled their clothes. You know? When clothes get soiled, you take them to the cleaners so that they can launder them or do whatever they can do, wash them or do whatever they do, press them or whatever they do to get it clean and sent back to you so they can give you back something zestfully clean. Even though they were dirty and soiled and smelling when you sent them to the cleaners, when you came back, all you smelled nothing. Maybe just the fluid that they washed them in. You take it to the cleaners so they fix it up, what you messed up. Oh, I know a fountain filled with blood, drawn with Emmanuel's vein, and sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilt and stains. So I got some good news for you. That if you've got a little dirt on you, Jesus, I love to tell y'all this. Jesus has a cleaning service. He can clean you up from your sins. He can clean you up from your rebellion. He can clean you up from your resistance. He can clean you up from your iniquity. He can clean you up from your unrighteousness because He's got a cleaning service. And guess what? Guess what? He's got pickup service. He'll come exactly where you are and pick it up. So when He come to where you are and pick you up and give you a cleaning so that you can be unspotted from the world. Give Him some praise this morning. He is good and He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. So you think all this praising God is for nothing. You think all this ministering and praying for you is all about nothing. He's saying God is a jealous God. I told you we have to worship God in the spirit and the truth. We just can't give Him half of us. We have to let Him use all of us. He says, even if you fail, he'll come to your house and pick you up and clean you up. So we can leave here this morning knowing that God is good and He's worthy to be praised. So when we praise God, we worship Him in spirit and truth. And then we will give Jesus, His Son, all the praise and worship too, because He goes to the Father and tell Him, Father, look at Him. I told you they were going to make it. But then again, by praising Him, we have to usher in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is what we have to be worshiping too, because see, all three work together to make this whole cleaning thing a completeness. And God, He is good and worthy to be praised. Father, right now in the precious name of Jesus, I thank You, Lord, for Your word. I thank You, Father, for just backing everything that You said in Your word. And thank You for You allowing me to stand here to present Your word. Maybe, Father, I hope I presented it in the way You wanted to present it to Your people. But, Father, I thank You, Father. I don't care what's going on. I don't care how much we press, but we're pressing because we're here because we love you, Lord. And I know you're going to make everything all right. Why? Because we are fully committed to you. In Jesus' name, let's all shout hallelujah.